I mean, it's a time to give us some truth, you know?
You got it. And I think when you reach this sort of the breaking point of economics, it's a great time to basically call the question on a lot of the crap that gets accepted because you go along to get along. And when you think about it, what I find fascinating is you look at architecture, at what it could mean to people. It has a great deal of potential salvationary impact for people that can be that can actually hear the bright message of controlling your physical environment and actually making where you live and where you work and where you, what city you are, just an uplifting and interesting place that accepts diversity and innovation and actually experimentation, all those good things. Or it can be a place where it's you, the people that live in the community, are looking at the people that are designing these things who are really only talking to themselves. And if you actually look at psychotherapy and you look at religion and you look at any of these sort of wonderful transformative non-essential things, you will find that they do trend towards the practitioners talking to themselves and distancing themselves from the vast rest of humanity that in theory what they are doing is designed to help. And they make themselves a rarefied group of people that really only make themselves happy and make other people feel like fools because they can't hear that dog whistle that only the other dogs can hear.
I love that analogy, you know. Dog whistle architectural theory.
Well, it's true. The ears perk up for the people that can hear it, and it's very few people that can hear it. And I think that the thing which I'm sensing right now, your show, other things that are happening around the country, is that you get to a point where you just can't make more excuses. You just can't say for the 50 millionth time, no, the emperor really isn't naked. He's got this incredibly great satin robe on. Can't you see it? No, the emperor really is naked. There have been horrible failures. Many, many bad things have been done.
And yet, Duo, Dwell keeps, you know, do you know about the blog Unhappy Hipsters?
I have heard of it, and I want to go see it.
No, you got to look at it because
I have heard of it. Oh no, somebody sent me pictures from it, and it's hilarious.
Yes.
Here's the thing, Duo. What you're arguing for is good design.
Yeah.
Somebody has hijacked the idea that design has nothing to do with function, and that's where we went wrong. And people think that when we talk this way, we're against good design. We're not. We're in favor of it. It's just that we perceive the full spectrum of design instead of just a tenth of some little part ultraviolet. We're seeing the whole thing.
Well, I come from a tiny little community, which is the residential design community, and we have a little conference we do every year, and it's part of a thing called Reinvention. And last year we had kind of a hold a mirror in front of the face of our profession gathering, and somebody said, who in this room, about 110 architects, who actually has more work this year than they've had at any time in their career? And I raised my hand. A wonderful architect, John DeForest, raised his hand from Seattle, and another architect from Virginia, and I'm spacing on his name now, raised his hand. And I know them personally, and we are the three architects in the room that have essentially based our entire practices on using the families that live in our homes as the inspiration for what we do. The idea is that most architects that design homes or traditionally have thought about them as an ATM machine to fund great ideas that you have for them. And the truth is that there is a future in architecture in general if you widen the lens a little bit and not only think about, you know, what the thing looks like and what the form is, because I love interesting forms and buildings and abstractions and all that stuff is wonderful, but when it basically ends up doing that artful dance to the exclusion of basic technological reality and cost, but mostly exclusion of the context in which it's built or the actual needs of the people that are using it, it ceases to be architecture and simply is sculpture. Nothing wrong with sculpture. Love sculpture. But when people think of architects as not being architects but as sculptors and are making these huge, unbelievably expensive sculptures in their town, they're going to view view them differently than if they are a partner to make our community a better place to live. It's a very different perception, and that's where regulation, law, and society imposes its protective grasp on our profession to prevent us from ruining the lives of the innocent people that elect people to make laws.
You've just made a peak sentiment.